Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us anytime online at stevejonesshow.com. Like us on Facebook. You'll find links to the stories we talk about, podcasts as well, and follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. Steve is on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio as we speak. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up later on here on the show, we've got Kim Jones from the NFL Network and WFAN Radio New York City, who is on the Giants and Jets beat. And of course, Giants coming off that win over the Dallas Cowboys, the only team in the National Football League that has defeated the Dallas Cowboys this season. So Kim will be checking in at about 3:35 in our weekly visit, too, with Bucknell Bison men's basketball coach Nathan Davis. And the Bison will be back in action coming up on Saturday. They'll be back in action on Saturday and heading to New York to take on Siena, and that'll be an 11:30 airtime and noon pregame, 11:30 pregame and a tip-off at noon over on Eagle 107 at 107.3. And, of course, Penn State back in action, the men's basketball team with St. John's. That'll be an 11 a.m. tip Sunday morning here on WKOK. Got a busy night tonight. We've got Shikellamy basketball on WKOK. Shikellamy Braves wrestling can be heard at WKOK.com. So take your pick tonight. Both will be coming up after Talk to Santa this evening. And, of course, you can talk with us anytime. Feel free to email us. Our email address is stevejones@wkok.com. stevejones@wkok.com. Follow us on Twitter at stevejonespsu. Miss any of our shows, you can always go to stevejonesshow.com, click podcast. We were talking Philly sports yesterday with Matt Leon of KYW in Philadelphia, keeping tabs on the Eagles. I found this interesting story about an hour ago while I was on my lunch break. There was this guy, he was in Vegas. I don't know how much the ticket cost him. I would assume it was several hundred dollars. But he bet on a 14-game parlay, and I think he was going to win either $100,000 or $150,000 if he would have gone 14-14. So there's one game left. He went 13. He hit his first 13. Game 14 was last night, which was Ravens-Patriots.
Yeah.
And I was just getting into the story. A guy was in Vegas, and he bet. It had to have been either $100,000 or $150,000. It was a 14-game parlay.
Okay.
And he got his first 13 correct. Game 14 was last night, Patriots-Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is, in order for him to, and it was winner take all, win or nothing. In order
right,
for him
yeah.
to, in order for him to win all the cash last night, New England had to win by 8 points.
Oh, won by 7.
Wow, you want to talk about a bad beat?
Wow.
That is all or nothing. That ticket's worth nothing.
How much would he have received?
It was either $100,000 or $150,000. And I didn't kid. The story did not get into details to how much. I would assume it was a couple hundred bucks. And who knows, maybe this guy is a seasoned gambler. Maybe it just rolled off his back. But if it's someone like me that you know doesn't really bet on anything and you put all your chips in on this one big deal, that's going to sting.
Yeah. I mean, we aren't seasoned gamblers like, say, the suit. I mean, the suit likes the ponies, you know.
Yeah, he does.
He does. He likes the ponies. And the fact that the suit is doing digital media right now tells you how well the pony thing has been going.
Well, they used to have the off-track wagering there in Muncie right by the Lycoming Mall, and he had an account there.
They couldn't wait to see him. Oh, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, the suit has entered the building. Raises for everyone.
Suit be with us on Friday when we do the bowl picks.
So
I just got a text from your brother, Kevin.
Oh, he's texted me a couple times today.
Did he ask you who you thought was going to win the Cure Bowl?
He says, I'm struggling with the Camellia Bowl. And I texted him back, who wouldn't? No, he thinks this is some ruse on my part to try and get back in the game. And that is not true, okay? We've done this all 5 years of the show. This is the fifth. We're wrapping up our fifth season of the show. We've done this all 5 years. So this is not some ruse. We just do it for fun. I'm trying to explain to him that we have fun on the show. It's not that serious. He can get serious. Mm-hmm. We've talked about enough serious topics over the years. But not when it comes to this. Not when it comes to this. So we'll have a good time with it coming up on Friday. And the suit is the two-time defending champ. We must give credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
And as Sean wrote on the card here, begrudgingly.
I can have a three-man tag team to take him down.
Oh, the suit. The suit is unto himself. He got 30 out of 40 last year. And the year before, he got 26. So he is now, the first 2 years I won, all right? But the last 2 years, he's won. And not only that, he's won convincingly. In fact, I picked some teams last year that weren't even in the games. Now, here's a good question. We have Kim Jones today, all right, and we have Rich Scarcella today. And, well, we have Nathan Davis today, right?
You are correct. We'll have Nathan, Nathan 406.
406. And then tomorrow we have Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com on. But here's a question I'm going to throw out there right now that over the next few days, I want to get some phone calls about. Two tickets magically fall from the sky and land in your lap to see the Ravens and the Steelers on Christmas Day. Do you go? Okay, Christmas Day. A little different ball game than they just land in your lap. Hey, I'm going. Christmas Day's the game. 4:25 in the afternoon. You probably would have to leave our area at what? I don't know. 10:30, 11 in the morning to get out there. So two tickets and a slice of holiday magic fall from the sky. And they land in your lap. Do you go? The game is only on NFL Network. It is not on over-the-air Fox or over-the-air CBS or NBC. The NBC game that night is Kansas City and Denver. This is only on NFL Network. So now you're in a case where you go over to that brother-in-law that just drives you nuts. Just absolutely drives you insane. But he's got cable. Or you go over to that brother-in-law's house that drives you absolutely nuts, insane. He's got cable, but doesn't get NFL Network. So what do you do? Do you go to the game? It's Christmas. And it would take a significant time investment to do this. Steelers, Ravens, division lead on the line. Do you go? Sean Carey, big Steeler fan, ball in your court. And again, you have paid nothing for the tickets. The tickets are free. There's nothing. They've magically fallen from the sky.
Of course, I'm going to nitpick. You know, we talking 500 level seats. We talking seats in between the 40s.
These are 50 yard line seats, about maybe 35 rows up.
Oh, you know me, I'm there. Oh yeah, my wife and I are there. She probably if you'd asked her the question, she probably would have answered it quicker than I just did.
I will point this out, though. Circumstances do come into play here.
Oh, and for sure in our place, too.
Okay. Circumstances do come into play. You know, for example, you're single. Sure. Sean and his wife don't have children.
Correct.
So they have, you have cats, right?
Two cats and a 7-year-old nephew that's still digging Christmas. So that's kind of the caveat.
Yeah.
Yes.
So... You know, I mean, you really just got to make sure that, like, the cats are all set. You're out. So your circumstance is different than... Now, a lot of people celebrate Christmas Eve, and they celebrate Christmas morning. Now, the afternoon time, there are a few people, obviously, that hold out, do a little bit more in the afternoon. Okay, fine. I got it. But over the next few days... I want, when we get to this point, we're going to open up the phone lines. I want to hear what people have to say. And there's no right or wrong answer. This is not one of those where you call up and go, yeah, I'd go. And then all of a sudden you get an argument from the host. I'm not going to say anything. We'll mark it down as a yes. If you say no, I wouldn't go, we'll mark it down as a no. It's a pretty simple process here. And that's the hallmark of this show. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All of these wish lists say they want a new Kia.
No worries, Jingle. It's the holidays on us sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia.
We want a Kia.
Kia can fill everyone's wish list with a new Kia. It's Kia's Holidays on Us sales event. Just listen to this gift from Sunbury Motors Kia. No payments until May.
You heard right, May.
Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months on all 2017 Fortes and Serranos. And all remaining 2016 Optima and Optima Hybrids. Plus, 2016 Optimas and Optima Hybrids also have $500 bonus cash. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So go ahead, overspend on presents for the family, because you'll still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia.
The holidays are on us
at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Warranty is limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailers or go to kia.com.
So Sean would bag the family in a heartbeat. And go to the game.
Luckily in our family tradition, we do Christmas breakfast by like 9 a.m.
Oh, do you really? Is there a place you go to?
I go to my wife's mom's house.
Very nice.
Go to the in-laws. So it's her side of the family. I go get my mom and bring her over. So yeah, it's a nice little thing. A great breakfast. Yeah, we got the... You know,
who makes the breakfast?
Well, it's kind of a group effort. So we got my wife's older brother. You know, he takes care of the eggs and the omelets and stuff. And then Deb's younger brother, he handles the meats, the sausages, and I'm over by the waffle maker.
That's good.
Deb's sister-in-law takes care of the toast. So it's a community effort. So yeah,
very nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, last year I asked the suit that question.
Okay.
They said something about going over to Sean's in-laws.
There's plenty of food. We'd have room for him, for sure.
Are you sure about that?
I could. That's true. I could be opening something up there. Yeah. And, of course, we're not even 5 minutes into eating, and the nephew's already ready to rip open the presents. That's always fun.
You know what? Can you blame your nephew?
Oh, no way. I'd be that way if I was seven, sure.
My brother and I... Okay. Kevin was the king of... Steve, wake up. Wake up. Say it again. Oh, my God. Okay. Now, I can tell you the best gift I ever got. Okay? One year, they got me one of those hockey games. You know, with the levers?
Yes.
I love that thing. Mm-hmm. I love that thing. I said, this is great. So, yeah, that was, I always felt that was the best gift I got. You know, going through, I like that game so much because the teams I got were the Detroit Red Wings and the Los Angeles Kings. Right? I liked it so much that with my own money, because I was helping my dad out in the shop, things like that, you know, getting a few dollars here and there to clean the shop and clean the bathrooms and clean things like that. I was like, 10, 11 years old. So I saved up a little bit of money and I bought the other teams. So I had the whole set of them, the Bruins, the Penguins, the Flyers, everything. Because I wanted to play games. So. But he was always the one, wake up. Yeah. He was always the one that did that. That's great. I think that's perfectly, I wouldn't have changed it at all. Wouldn't have changed it at all. Yeah. All right. Kim Jones coming up next half hour. And he'll confirm that, by the way, when he's on the show Friday. He will confirm that he's the one that, we'd race down and he'd be the guy. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're lucky you get to, have those kind of memories. Lucky. Yeah. Now, do you do like a gift exchange or...
We do. Yeah, even though, our family members are, brother, sister, in-laws, into the 40s, and we still do a gift. Yeah, we still do that.
Because the suit does a gift exchange, and oddly enough, he keeps drawing his own name every year. So it's... he says he always goes home from Christmas happy. Oh, my goodness. All right, so you have a chance to go to the Steeler game. And actually, I'd love to hear what he would say. If the suit had two tickets to the Steeler game Christmas Day, would he go? What do you think he'd say?
He'd be like, yeah, comes to the hotel, right? he would add on.
He would add on.
An extra caveat.
Oh.
Two nights stay, right?
Yeah. I get a free hotel out of it, don't I?
Walking distance over to Hyde Place, right?
The answer is no. Suit. But I'd love to know what his answer would be. That's two tickets. That means one of them's left out. And for all we know, she'd be happy. Like, go ahead.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And very pleased to bring in the outstanding reporter, correspondent for NFL Network, Kim Jones. Kim, welcome back. It is great to hear you again.
Steve, as I say to most of the men in my life, it's about time I hear from you again. It's been a while.
It's been too long, as a matter of fact. How about that? Far too long.
How are you? I'm sure Happy Valley is so happy. I hate when announcers say that. Happy Valley's happy again. But you know what? I bet it is.
It is, and I'm not a person that ever says that. In fact, I think at the end of the Wisconsin game, I said, look, they brought back the fun, they brought back the excitement. I think that's what they've done. They brought all of this back, and everybody feels better about everything because of what they've done.
Well, and I will tell you this, since it's just you and me talking, I often, almost always, listen to you and Jack. First of all, because I love you and Jack, but it's also the definitely preferred listening option if you're a Penn State fan these days. So absolutely love hearing you and Jack on the call, and it's terrific.
Well, thank you. And, of course, we know the great respect I've had for you for a long time. You have had a front row seat on Giants and Jets. I want to start with the Giants. We'll start with the better part of it. How about that? The Giants last year in the world of margin of error kept falling on the south side of the margin of error in the last 5 minutes. What's changed this year where they're on the north side of it?
Well, better talent, and they paid handsomely for it. But I do think the Giants can be a lesson to other teams, including college teams, where, as we know, some get paid, but not most, and certainly Penn Staters don't. But, you know, the Giants brought in free agents and gave them incredibly high contracts, but they also brought in the person in addition to the player. And they have guys, Steve, who give a darn. They are prideful. They play their tails off. Olivier Vernon plays more snaps than any other defensive lineman in the league. And now that Jason Pierre-Paul is hurt, it's not even close. And they really play together, and it's as good a locker room as I've been in a long time. So they're doing a lot of things right on and off the field.
See, and that's a really good point there, because one of the items that, you know, and Kim knows because she was around here so long around people, that recruiting individuals, sometimes recruiting families, is just as important as recruiting the player themselves.
There is no doubt, and I'll tell you what's going to start to happen, because I'm the reporter from NFL Network who covers the Combine, and I've begged them to never take that assignment away from me because it's my favorite of the year. It will, in short order, people, because they know I'm a Penn Stater, people around the NFL will start to say to me, what's Saquon Barkley like? I know they love him already, by the way, but and the NFL, as you know, Steve, increasingly cares about the person. It doesn't mean they're all angels. I'm not trying to paint some Pollyanna picture, but they increasingly care about what kind of guy are we drafting in addition to the player.
What kind of year has Manning had? Because there are times where he has an Eric Flowers issue.
Well, and he has an Eli Manning issue, too. Let's be honest. Eli is not having his finest year.
He's, no.
Here's the deal with Eli, and the Giants have known this for years, and they've had a lot of success with it like this. But Eli has to feel comfortable. It doesn't always mean that Eli can't be rushed. It doesn't always matter that Eli can't be sacked. It matters that Eli believes that he's not going to be pressured. Eli's been pressured a lot. He hasn't been hit a great deal and has not been sacked a lot. He gets rid of the ball quickly, but he clearly lacks some confidence in his offensive line, rightly so, but it is leading to some passes and some plays, including the fumble the other night, where he's rushing and it's more of the mental game physically, excuse me, than the physical game. It's funny to say that about a two-time Super Bowl MVP, but you know what, Steve? He's human. He is not particularly mobile. And he operates best when he's not thinking, not overthinking, and just playing. And I think when you have time to think about having a pretty bad left tackle, I'm sure it plays on the mind of any quarterback.
The Cowboys have faced two good defenses the last couple of weeks, and they've totaled 24 points in doing so. So when you look at them now, and you had a good long look at them the other night, what are you seeing in Dallas?
Well, to me, the most important stat the other night, and there are a gazillion, was that Ezekiel Elliott did get his 100 yards against the Giants. He didn't in week one. He did this week. Good for him, right? Well, he got 21 after halftime. The New York Giants were able to hang in there, keep it at 7-0 at halftime, and then said to themselves, if we pitch a shutout, we have a chance. And that's exactly what happened. So I know the offensive line from Dallas gets as much acclaim as anyone or anything in the NFL, and most of it is rightly so. But when it really, really mattered, he got 21 yards on, I believe, 9 carries. If you can shut down that running game, they can't beat you. especially not in conditions like Sunday night, which were not brutal. We've seen much more brutal conditions at Beaver Stadium in the past years, but it was cold and the ball was slippery.
Okay, Dak Prescott, right? He's a different kind of guy, obviously, than Tony Romo. And that was obviously a big game for them. Where is he right now? Is he plateauing maybe for the first time this year?
Well, and if he is, Steve, I would say that most people around the NFL would nod their heads, because the thinking going into this game was how rare these two rookies for the Cowboys were, because they were still ascending and they had not hit a rookie wall. That's very rare. Most rookies at least hit some sort of a wall. Sometimes they bounce back from it. So they were very, very rare, and still may be. They still may have a tremendous season, and we might still be talking about them when the calendar turns February. But you did see some cracks in the armor there that I think would concern you. I don't think they'll go to Romo, if that's what you're wondering, because I think this is Dak's show now. But it's going to be very interesting to see how much he can handle going down the stretch.
Jack Ham and I were talking yesterday, and we started chatting about Sean Lee. Know what Lee brings to the table physically. Yep. We see it on every play. But he's also the guy that calls out what they're doing defensively and gets them into the right spot. When he's in there, what is the domino effect of Sean Lee on a Dallas defense?
Well, the guys up front are basically told, you know, keep it clean so 50 can make a play. And how many plays did he make the other night? I mean, Sean Lee has had injury issues that have held him back, but they've also held the Cowboys back. They are a vastly better defense and better team with him on the field. And I can't tell you how many times over the years with him, Paul Posluszny, who's obviously with a different franchise, different situation, but how many times over the years people have said to me, boy, Sean Lee's a heck of a player. Boy, Paz is a heck of a player. It's not a surprise to any of us, but then you see it Sunday night, and he really stood out. He made them go, and he could have wrecked that game. I mean, he is really, really good.
Yeah, and he gets that defense into the right spot.
Sure.
He sees things other people don't see, and obviously a guy that would notice that would be Jack more than anybody, because that's how he played.
Absolutely. You know, now listen, the one thing Sean Lee can't do is catch Odell Beckham Jr., so, and that was the difference for the New York Giants the other night. But Sean Lee certainly rushed the passer. He was in on, you know, the run game. At one point, there was I don't know what the announcer said. It looked to me, and I may be wrong, looked to me like it was a run blitz, and it was the exact right call, and he stoned the running back. Yeah. So he is as good as it gets.
It was a run blitz, and you hit the right call at the right time, and that's why he was as open as he was. All right, now let's go to the other side. The Jets. Why are the Jets where the Jets are?
Well, bad quarterback play. No fit. You know, last year it was Ryan Fitzpatrick and his Fitzmagic. This year there's been no Fitzmagic, and now there's no more for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Bryce Petty gets the job because he's the one prepared for it. You know, the vibe at the Jets is a concern. I do think Todd Bowles returns, barring something crazy in these last three games. And they do have two at home, so we'll see how that goes. But I knew and I reported that Christian would essentially be redshirted with the Jets, something he, of course, was not at Penn State. I'm a little concerned just about the vibe, but I think it'll be vastly different next season, and I would expect he'd be competing for the starting job next offseason.
Well, wasn't the vibe on Bryce Petty bad a year ago? Because at Baylor, you're not expected to do things, especially at the line of scrimmage, that the NFL does.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, he didn't know how to huddle. He didn't know how to huddle. He didn't know how to take a snap under center. He didn't know how to call play. You know, they called everything from the sideline. I know a lot of teams do some of that now. I see Penn State doing it. I get it. Everyone does it. It doesn't help you get ready for the NFL, though. I will tell you that. Bryce Petty couldn't read defenses. That's one thing that I still have to believe Christian brings to the table. You know, I've been told by many, many people, put him on a whiteboard and he impresses with the very best. He knows what he's seeing. He knows what he's doing. So I have to believe that training will still carry over. You don't lose that, I can't imagine. So I do think Christian's ahead of the curve there. But, yeah, out of Baylor, Bryce Petty was a project. But now they're, you know, Chan Gailey, the offensive coordinator, has kind of called Christian a developmental player. That bothered me. That's not something, you know, he can say whatever he wants, but it wasn't a smart thing to say.
Right, exactly. So now Bryce Petty gets his shot. In terms of the talent around them, is this a failure on their part to put the right parts in there, or are the parts that they put in there not living up to what they thought it would be?
McCagnan, the GM, wanted to have it both ways. They called it a competitive rebuild. They wanted to keep the team competitive enough that fans in this market in particular would stay interested and stay optimistic, but knowing they had to rebuild the roster. It is now easy to say, and you could have said it 2 years ago, they should have just broken everything down and rebuilt. They now have veterans who aren't invested. They have veterans who don't want to be there. They have veterans who are on short contracts because of the salary. I don't care what their actual contract is, but because of the salary cap, they're almost also short contracts, and they're not going to be here in a year. So, you know, how would you play if you're a veteran? Well, it can go two ways. You're either one of those prideful guys I talked about earlier, or you're a me guy who says, I'm going to make it through this season as healthy as I can and see what happens. So it is not a good environment. I do expect it will improve in the off season. It can't get worse, but it can always get worse, Steve. It is not a good environment. I'll be at the Jets tomorrow to see that again for myself. Not a good environment with the New York Jets.
You talked earlier, Kim, about the fact that the Giants locker room is a great place to go into, and it's a great workplace. When you go into the Jets locker room, is it a different feeling?
It is. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is such a great leader, and this year the performance just didn't allow him to keep his job. That's a very tough spot. It's hard to lead from the sidelines. It's hard to lead after being benched. So that takes away a real positive, good, mature veteran presence in there. Eric Decker got hurt earlier in the season. Everyone has injuries, but that one hurt the Jets in many ways, the red zone in particular for Fitzpatrick. So it's really a collection of guys, a couple, you know, some of the big guys are still holdovers from playing for Rex Ryan. That was a different situation than playing for Todd Bowles. And I really think the Jets are still finding their way. I do think this this group will have next year to find it, but they're going to have to find it in 2017.
3 weeks to go in this regular season. Give me four or five teams that now you're zeroing in on that you think can make a run.
Well, I think the Giants are one because of their defense.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what Seattle brings without Earl Thomas. He's one of those glue guys. They have several of them. They have a bunch of glue guys, but I'm curious to see about that. I didn't stay awake for the whole game last night, but obviously the Patriots win in different ways and will always win with that quarterback. So I'm probably not going to surprise you with any of those names, but
no.
I think, you know, even talking to folks at NFL Network as we look ahead, now we're just guessing like everyone else, but none of us will be surprised if the Patriots are back in the Super Bowl.
All right, now as we continue the guessing game, teams that maybe a couple weeks ago you thought were, but now you have more questions about with 3 weeks to play.
Well, Buffalo, because I thought I thought Rex Ryan would get a third year there. I'm not nearly as certain. Things have really kind of fallen apart. Talk about injuries, talk about changes, the offensive coordinator fired in September, all kinds of things happening. But I thought the Bills would ascend, and they're not. So that's something to watch for me in terms of, is there a coaching change? I think Pittsburgh's a team to watch. I don't know if they're even going to win that division, but they should. And with that talent on offense, they are so incredibly dangerous. So I'd watch them. I guess that's back to the positive side of things. And I think Denver, I mean, we may have a situation where neither Super Bowl team from last year makes the playoffs. Now, it's very hard in the NFL to go back. They make it that way. They like parity. But we may have a situation this year where they're 0-2 in terms of Super Bowl teams, even back in postseason.
What do you think of Kansas City?
I think they're tough. I think they're talented. I think that they make plays. I love Eric Berry, not only his story, but his play on the field. I think Aaron D. Reed's easy to root for. So I like them. I really do. I like them a lot. What do you think?
I agree with you. The only area that I would be concerned if I were a Chiefs fan is that they keep the margin of error too close. I mean, the way the style of play keeps the opponent in the game.
Yeah, and that's how that whole game manager thing, right? I mean, they do it pretty well, but you're right. When you do it that way, you know, a big play beats you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and that's the only thing about them I would worry about. I love, though, how they closed the Denver game in regulation and then how they played overtime. That showed me something on the road.
And Tom Bahali is still there getting it done. I love that, too.
Yeah, same here. Hey, as you said, too long, my fault. Okay.
I didn't get a chance to tell you that I had the Patriots game last Sunday. I did not sleep the night before, thanks to James Franklin, Saquon, McScorley, I call him McScorley, not McSorley, McScorley, and all the guys, because after watching that game, Steve, who could sleep?
I know that the play-by-play guy got to sleep about 3 and then got up at 7 to get on the bus and go to the airport.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. Thanks for having me on, Stephen. And Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and everyone.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you, Kim. It's always great to hear you.
Anytime. Thanks, Stevie. Bye.
Kim Jones, NFL Network. Oh, my goodness. She's great. She is just great. Really is. I can't say enough great things about her. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Is that a great guest or what? Absolutely great. All right. When the playoffs roll around, we got to get Kim back on the show.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. You know, we could.
Already got a text back from her. Anytime, anytime.
She's great. I mean, just great. All right. We have in the next half hour Nathan Davis, Bucknell Basketball. And we want to thank Coach, by the way, because Coach, in order for us to get Kim on the show, moved his spot a half hour. And I greatly appreciate that very much. And then the final half hour, Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle. We got Neil Coulon coming up tomorrow. We got Adam Rittenberg tomorrow. We got a lot going on. Bowl Media Day is coming up this week. Last I checked, they're going to the Rose Bowl. There's probably a lot of people out there that can't believe that that's what we're saying. You know, Penn State's going to the Rose Bowl. In September, did you really think you'd be saying that? I also keep getting repeated texts from my brother about what he doesn't know what to do on certain bowl games. But I can tell you how much research I put in. I've only researched one game.
And that's your job. We wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay? I've researched one game, okay? In fact, you want to know what USC against Washington, UCLA, and Notre Dame did on third down and six or better? I can tell you. They threw every time. They didn't run the ball once. Okay. Now, that game I know about. The other games, it's just tossing darts at a hurricane. Simple as that.
Yeah, I walked past the suit's office this morning. I said, you've already started your pick prep for Friday? And he goes, no, not yet. I haven't either. I'm going to start tonight and try to knock 10 out the next few nights, okay, and then I'll be ready for Friday.
Excuse me. No. I'm working on one game and one game only. Okay. All the other ones, I'll just kind of do it on gut feel and a little bit of knowledge about each one. How about that? If I go 1-40, and that one is the Rose Bowl,
you'll be a happy guy.
I don't give a darn about the other one.
Although I can't believe I came across this while I was having lunch today. The first CBS Sports 2017 mock draft.
Yeah.
And they have actually a guy that you'll be seeing a lot at the Rose Bowl, Juju, the wide receiver for Southern Cal.
Yeah.
To go to the Giants possibly for the first round.
Yeah, I saw that. Juju Smith-Schuster, he now has added Schuster in to pay tribute to his stepfather, which is, you know, it's nice. He's very, very good. He's very, very good. About 5.7 yards after the catch, they do a lot of, you know, quick hit stuff. And he's very good. Now, he's not the best player on that team. Adoree Jackson, the Jim Thorpe Award winner on the other side, that's the best football player on that team. He's really good. Really good.
Listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.